greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Let's open our Bibles, first of all, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Begin reading there. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord, for your grace, Lord, your wisdom. Again, we just thank you. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'd help us be faithful to you, that you'd help us, Lord, to be what you need us to be. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd help us, give us wisdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, reading in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Just, we'll start right here. It says, but the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And then it goes on and talks about men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. I mainly wanted to talk about just in the beginning, in the King James, it says perilous times. It warns us about perilous times and dangerous times. And I think that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. This is talking, whenever he's talking here about perilous times, there people have spirits. You know, there we do have people that are, we're in a spiritual battle. These people, they fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Sometimes we think, you know, whenever someone has a spirit, we always think of someone being possessed or something just being really wild or really crazy. But you know, there's all kinds of spirits in the world, and there's spirits in the world that are very persuasive. There's spirits in the world that are very believable. You know, just you see people that are able to sell, a good salesman, you know, and they explain something to you and you just are caught up in what they're saying and believe them. And then they go away and whatever you've bought, you know, it just starts to fall apart or something starts going wrong and you realize that you've just been had, you know. But those are spirits as well. And that's what he's talking about here. And I think the idea sometimes is sometimes religious people have a very persuasive spirit about them. You know, you see, we know of groups where there's just a constant people coming in and just attracted to everything that's going on. And pretty soon, you know, they're gone. But they're drawn in by that real persuasive spirit. And that's one of the things that he's talking about here. To beware that the Spirit warns us. God's Spirit warns us that in the last days, people will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of men. Just deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And we've talked about this before, how that, you know, whenever you look at who God is and His love and mercy and His goodness towards us and His just the Spirit of God, whenever we truly see that, we can see who He is. And that's the Spirit that's warning us about these things. And then we see people that may be very, very religious, but they're just looking for something wrong all the time. They're just looking for somebody to be out of order so that they can just set them straight or something. Sometimes they're very harsh in their judgments. You know, they're separating and dividing and causing all kinds of problems. But it's all with a idea of morality, that they're somehow more morally superior to other people. I've just been thinking about things like that, things about evil. You know, you get around religious people and someone that's striving to do what's right, and they just, I was talking to a man about mercy, you know, and how in the church you got to be patient, have mercy with people and forgive people. And oh yeah, he agreed with all of that because he sees that there's a lot of churches that are full of judgment and full of being critical, and he saw that, and he said, but then he said, but you don't tolerate sin. And I don't know how many times I've heard that, you know, just to have that moral superiority. And I'm not advocating sin, and I'm not advocating justifying it or doing anything like it. But the sin is usually something that's in their own eyes that they don't approve of. The real sin is, like we've been talking about, the spirits of these different things. What I was thinking about, you know, some of the most evil people in the world are not just somebody that's struggling with sin or having problems. Real evil is someone that's got a moral superiority, that is taking advantage, that's controlling, that's twisting people around. That's where real evil is. It's not just someone that's just struggling and weak and having problems, but it's someone that usually don't have any problems. It don't appear to. And they're manipulating, controlling, doing all of these things for their own power. That's where real evil is. Someone just sinning, making a distinction there, just someone just sinning, that's bad, it's wrong. But it doesn't have an evil motive towards humanity. And we're living in a time where everybody has a Bible, and so they can develop their own morality, and just like this talks about, with spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, whenever the doctrine of a demon is bringing you under power and trying to control you and trying to keep you under their power, we see it in the political scene, you know, this political correctness, the movement. You know, they really don't have any standard or anything to go by except what's the popular thing going at the time. You know, that's their morality. Whatever moral thing that they can present that maybe somebody else isn't doing that they're able to do at the time, and they're just pushing that forward, and anybody that doesn't agree is just completely cut off and just separated, and they're just wrong just because you don't agree with the mob or the spirit of what's going on right now. And you know, we see it in the political world, this political correctness, and how just there is no goodness in it, but they have this moral superiority because they're in agreement with somebody else of the same thing. And so often that is what happens in churches. There just becomes a moral superiority that we have. This is doctrines of demons. It's the attitude, it's the heart of a demon instead of the heart of God. The warnings here that it's bringing is to beware. Well, I'm actually in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is where it talks about it. It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. It's warned us in 1 Timothy about the apostasy that's coming. You know, and then here it's just the general times it's talking about in Timothy chapter 3. But I'm gonna come back to that. But I want to say something else here about the number 4 in chapter 4, verse 1 Timothy 4. It says, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. This is apostasy. Someone that, you know, that's one of the things you hear a lot of people, I've seen people that talk about not being deceived. That's all they care about, is not being deceived. But yet, all of their actions and all of the things that they're doing is trying to control this religion and trying to control people and using whatever means it can. Apostasy is falling away or being missing what we're supposed to be. And I know there's several people here that, you know, they've got tender consciences and they're afraid of being apostate. Maybe they've committed the unpardonable sin, as we've heard about and talked about, and we're just afraid we're separated from God. A true apostate would hardly ever even take that thought seriously with themselves. An apostate, someone whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron, has developed their own conscience about things. And they do have a conscience about the things that, and it's just like this political correctness. They have this conscience that someone's not meeting up to what they're saying. But as for themselves, they're not troubled with it. It doesn't bother them. They never have a thought that they would be separated from God, really. They might say it, but most of the time they're... Someone that's apostate is someone whose God is not able to penetrate their heart and their conscience anymore. And a lot of times God just quits trying. You know, he just doesn't even say anything to them anymore. It doesn't bother them about it. So they develop their own conscience and different things. It gets kind of deep and complicated. But an apostate doesn't ever consider themselves apostate. They would never think of themselves as ever being one. They just wouldn't even consider it because they know they're right. That's the closer to the end times that we live, and that's what it's talking about here in verse 3 in chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. And this is where King James, it says, perilous times will come, dangerous times, difficult. And I think we're living in those times. And I think there's just things going on today in the world that, you know, I grew up with preachers that would come and they would go every little bit, and in their revivals they would talk about Revelation and the end times. It was a common thing It was a common theme to talk about the end times. It talked about the mark of the beast and all of those things. And most people would get pretty nervous about it and get scared, you know, talking about end times. People were kind of serious about it. And some of the things that they talked about, you know, how would any of this ever happen? I just remember thinking about this whenever they were preaching, you know, how could anybody ever be so deceived to fall for some of the things that they're talking about? And now, 40, 50, 60 years later, and I see some of the things that are going on in the world today, they would have thought we've already missed it and God probably doesn't even exist because we've already gone past any expectation of what they were talking about, things that would happen. I mean, who would have ever dreamed some of the things that pass today? And we've even get pretty accustomed to just, well, that's the way things are. But you'd never even think about it. And back then, you'd never even have that thought. Perilous times. We are living in dangerous times. And so many people, whenever they see those dangerous times, they begin to get real religious. And so they, of course, go to the Bible and start putting it. And many times just wind up adding religion to their still unrepented heart. They're looking out for themselves, trying to save themselves. The things going on with computers and things that are going on today that we never dreamed about. They're talking about having AI or artificial intelligence that is learning so fast that the little outsmart humans, it's just right coming down the pike. It's just going to happen, they say. We've heard of people calling and having the voice of their own son or their own daughter and saying, hey, I'm in help. I need you to wire me some money or I've got trouble. And the grandma or the mother or the father believes it's their daughter they're talking to or their son they're talking to and just sends them the money. And because they're able to fake people saying things, even pictures now, they used to say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, now they can create a whole video with you in it and you can't even tell it wasn't you if you were looking at it. I mean, it's just, that's going to be pretty hard to detect truth. They say we're coming to a time where you won't be able to believe anything that you see. That's perilous times. Let alone the deception and everything that's already around us. And I just think of those things. You know, the only way that we're going to protect ourselves is to be what you're supposed to be today. So easy to get caught up in all the new things, the new gadgets, and the just going after what's new and out there. And the problem is, if we're just looking for that, what happens is we wind up with the new thing and we don't even know what we got in our hands sometimes. So I just want us to just reflect and take some time and realize that we're living in these times that I always heard were coming. I mean, I always heard that these times were coming, and I can't believe the things that are going on right now in them. And it's so easy for us just to be caught up and miss. And like I said, just be going right along with it. So I just want to encourage us this morning. I'll read on a little bit. It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times. And I like the word perilous. It's just, you know, we can have difficulties, but perilous, like King James says, it's dangerous times. It's telling us to be on guard. We've got to, Satan's getting smarter all the time. I mean, and if I don't know of a better plan of attack on the church, you know, if there is light and we have truth and we have light, I don't know a better plan of attack to have someone move in right down the road and say the same things and speak the same things and live a lot the same way and just sow discord but still not be the same. I mean, I just don't know of anything, a better plan for evil. And that's one of the reasons we don't, or I haven't gone to the streets all that much, is you get there and there's somebody right across the road with maybe even I've seen the signs that I've made using the same message, and what confusion that sows to the world. That's perilous times. And that's the way Satan operates. He just loves to have that kind of confusion. And I just don't... It comes across, you meet some of them, and they're just all smiles, and oh, how's it going? And just, oh, haven't seen you in a long time. And it's hard not to be... drawn in just to be nice, but this is nothing to play with. I mean, it's just a dangerous thing. Be on guard is what I'm trying to say. There's people, I mean, it just sounds so, you know, just, oh, you know, when are you, oh, you're here, how late are you gonna stay tonight, you know, just like we're doing the same thing and working together. It's just perilous times. It's kind of hard not to, kind of hard just to avoid being drawn in. And it doesn't feel right sometimes just not being very friendly. But like I said, I don't know what better plan the devil could have, or what a better plan of attack than this. Realize this, that in the last days difficult times may come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. This Jannes and Jambres were the magicians that Moses met with. You know, Moses threw down his stick and it became a serpent. Well, these two came up and said, here, we can do that. And they threw down their stick and it became a serpent. Moses' stick ate theirs. Every miracle that Moses came along and did, they came and mimicked. Pharaoh, watching on, convinced that it's just a magic trick that Moses was doing, because his people could do the same thing as the people, as Moses. That's pretty hard to discern. And that's what he's talking about here. He's giving us the warning that we're living in perilous times. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The only way to not be deceived is walk in truth today. Walk in the light today. You can plan, make all kinds of things that keep yourself from being deceived, but you're living in the future. You're not living today. I read or heard a story about a man that played baseball, football maybe. And while he was younger, he made it onto the varsity team. And he was just a star that year. Well, the next year they come and he was the star, you know. And the coach barely even played him. And he said, listen, I'm the star. Don't you remember what I did last year? And the coach said, I'm not playing last year. We're playing this year. You're no better than what you are today. Not what you have been. We're only as good as what we are today. Our has-been is has-been. It's gone. And our future's not here yet. We can't plan to fix our future other than living right today. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Amen, brother. Thank you for that encouragement. Things just get cloudy so easily. That pressure you talked about, drawn in. That we know and have known is wrong. Not true. Thank you for that encouragement.
Praise the Lord.
It's not a matter of what has been done or when it was done or how long ago or whatever, but it's a matter of what the Spirit is. The Spirit already does. And I appreciate your talk about me, because God is I am now. And if we're to be like Him, we're going to be like Him.
Anybody else have anything?
There's a stack of CDs back on the back table. They're free. You're welcome to take them. They're going to sing in the choir.
Choir CDs on the back table.
I really appreciate that last thought there almost about the best way to plan for the future is to lower those right now and go to track right now. That's all we got to worry about.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for our brother Daniel in Mexico. His father passed away. And, they're in Jalisco. They traveled to Jalisco, his area, for that funeral and everything. Yeah. Pray for Aunt Eddie, for Grandpa. He's my Ed, Sister Erica. His name is Martel. Martel Barajas. Martel.
All right. Well, God bless y'all. Part and peace. I'll be with you. Good. Lakoba today, or?
It's actually all Sunday.
Okay. All right. God bless you.